and welcome to the Kickstarter edition, July 27th, 2018. This is the show where we talk about the Kickstarter games we're backing, might back, and have already received and played. I'm one of your hosts, Kitty.
And I'm Chris. And this week we're backing Siege Storm and The Abandoned. We're watching Totally Medieval, Tiny Trees, Escape Plan, Pumpkin Patch, Bad Seeds, Moonshiners of the Apocalypse, and the Grand Museum of Art. And finally, we'll end with a review of Everdell, which is timely because this is the first time I'm actually reviewing something as it's coming out to the rest of the world.
Whoa.
I know. It's a total 180. Also, this is our first official episode of the Kickstarter edition.
Yep.
Sort of. I mean... So if you are finding this feed and you're going back and watching, listening to the first episode and you're getting this, you're like, wait a minute, what do you mean? This obviously is the first episode. Well, we have a whole bunch of other episodes and it's sort of part of Tabletop Game Talk. And just go to tabletopgametalk.com and listen to everything because we are amazing.
It's true.
I'm just saying. All right. So I'm pretty sure. Okay. All right, I'm going to do mine that I backed first, and then you're going to do yours that you're backed, because I thought the name of this was different, but apparently it's not. So, what I backed was Siege Storm, the Siege Mode, which is the subtitle of Siege Storm, although this is Siege... Well, anyway, it is... Yeah, I've talked about this game a couple times already, but basically this is a 1-2 player game. And I say 1-2 player because this has a siege mode, which is a single player boss battle type version of it. But it's a customizable card game. The Kickstarter comes with all of the stuff that you would want with it. The interesting thing about this one is it originally came out as a collectible game, and then they got a lot of feedback saying, hey, if this is going to be a collectible game, I'm not going to get involved. So they released it as more of an expandable game. And in that form, it has done a gangbusters. Well, for a card game anyway that no one's ever heard of. But their goal was like $6,600. It's like, okay, we can print this for $6,600. They've raised $174,000. So, which is a crazy amount higher than... You know what their goal was. Over 4,000 backers, 5 days to go. Well, 4 days as you listen to this. Yeah, check this out if you like kind of the dueling card game genre. I feel like I should explain everything because this is technically the first episode, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to refer you back to last week's episode at tabletopgametalk.com and where I describe it in a little bit more detail, but I do a horrible job describing the game I backed that day too.
Oh, yeah. You did do a bad job. I remember that now.
Wait, not on this game. This game I did a good job, I think.
No, it was the one... Was it...
Eclipse.
Eclipse? Yeah. You did a bad job explaining Eclipse.
I really did. So I'm just going to keep
that... I couldn't hear most of it, though, so...
the beauties of remote recording. Yeah, I'm just going to let that be a trend. I just... Terrible description of the game I backed. But hey, I was willing to back money on this... And that should say everything about it. That really says nothing about it because I literally back a game a week. But anyway.
There are a lot of games out there to back.
There are.
I had a hard time deciding this week.
Yeah. So just to recap, I did Siege Storm and you did.
The Abandons, a solo labyrinth escape game. So this is a solitaire game of labyrinth escape, portable, simple to learn, and unique each time you play. I talked about this in episode 99 Kickstarter of Tabletop Game Talk, if you want to go listen to a longer explanation. Basically, it is a solo card game where you are building a maze that you are trying to escape. You are gathering tools that will help you along the way, and you're trying to avoid dead ends.
Yeah, I think I just thought of this as, in my head, it was called the Solo Labyrinth. I didn't even realize The Abandons was the name of the game.
Yeah.
But, all right. That's why at the beginning, I'm like, wait a minute, are you missing words there? No, I guess not. So, every week, we back something. We've started it being a trend where Kitty and I both back something, but don't get too attached to that. Sometimes there might be a week where we don't back something. Hasn't happened yet.
I thought about it this week, but this one was fun.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good ones out there, so I don't think I'm going to have a problem backing games for the next few days or for the next few weeks. But all right, and then the next section, we are talking about games we're watching. Now, these are games that we're likely, we may back, we may not, but they are interesting to us, so we want to point them out to people. Instead of backing all of them and saying, look at all the money we spent, it's more of, these are things that we think we want, and hopefully, if we look at it again, we still want it, and then we'll back it. Is that about right?
Sounds right to me.
All right. Perfect. So the first one, this one has actually came in as an email, because you can email us if you want us to take a look at a Kickstarter or you think something's interesting, or in this particular case, you're running a Kickstarter, email us because we like being pointed to things. And one of the things I like about Kickstarter is getting new game developers out there a chance to get their game out there. And this is the definition of new game developer. So Zach Edwards emailed us. He put up a game called Totally Medieval, The Epic Adventure. Now this game is a two-player duel game. So you have armies, you're going after each other. You're moving your armies from one terrain piece to another, and the terrain pieces are cards on a map board. So when you move to a particular terrain, you're going to flip it over and you're going to see that there's some kind of special ability. So maybe if you're in the forest, it's going to be a place where you can get food for your army. If you're in a desert, maybe you're going to lose strength because your army is dying of thirst. So that's, you know, kind of makes sense for a moving across tactical thing. But there's also other things involved in this too. There's random weather. So you're going to draw a weather card, and the weather, depending on where you're at, may have different effects on you. Your army could get illnesses, and those illnesses could spread out and cause, you know, your army to kind of die from within. Eventually, you do get down to, if you move into another location with another army, you add up all of these different effects and things and compare strengths, and then the winner wins and the loser loses. And really, the whole goal is to get to the other side of the board and take over your opponent's homeland area. Now, this also has some interesting things in it. A third, like, you could have things come in from that aren't on either side. So dragons could be attacking, and maybe you have to take care of the dragons and kind of work together temporarily to get rid of the dragons. Or maybe you let the dragons, you know, be where they're going to be, and you're going to use that to your advantage, and you're going to try to push through as the dragons are causing your opponent some chaos and destruction. Also cool. This is sold in two-player packs, so I think the initial thing is Vikings and Knights. But let's say that you don't want to get all that complicated with this. The figures themselves can actually become chess pieces, and you can just get a chess board and play chess with them. So you have it's cool. But so you have Knights and Vikings out of this first one. And so you have Templars. On the Knight side, you have Templars, clergies, cavalry. There's queens and Richard the Lionheart and, well, Eric the Reds, he's a Viking, but and you have siege towers and things like that. So all of these things can like double as chess pieces, and you can actually back this game just as a chess board and these pieces and play chess with it.
Very cool.
It is. Now, the coolest thing about this was initially designed by a 5-year-old. Now, he's 10 now, and he's been working on it over the last 5 years, and I'm pretty sure his dad helped him. But Ethan is Zach's son, and Ethan basically came up with this idea when he was 5, and they've just kind of been working on it ever since. What's also interesting about this is Zach is really big into using games to teach. So he actually has a mini expansion to this, and I don't know if it's available on the Kickstarter, but it is mentioned on the Kickstarter. He has a mini expansion to this that helps kids learn math. So you're playing this game, and at the same time, you're learning math sort of on the side, but you think you're just having fun, but you're not. You're really learning.
It's the best kind of learning. It's when you trick them into learning.
Exactly. So I just thought this was a really cool idea. If you want to back the game for just the pieces and the chess set, it's $49. If you want the full game, it's $74. And there's some multiple sets and things like that that you can kind of multiply on if you want to get it for classroom settings and that kind of stuff. So again, that is Totally Medieval. You're up.
All right, I'm watching Tiny Trees, the competitive tree-growing board game. Tiny Trees is a competitive tree growing board game. Unlike most board games, the trees you grow branch into the third dimension. So this is a very cool looking game. You start with a base and you build out of it with hex shaped pieces with either two or three branches that you can connect. So you draw out of one of three piles your next branch and you connect it to your tree, and it builds, so you like crisscross them. So it builds out. You should go find a picture of this because trying to describe it does not do it justice. It looks very cool, has awesome table presence. And you score different ways by having different kinds of branches, life forms on your branches, and these blessings that you're trying to become a new tree demigod.
Well, why wouldn't you want to be a demigod, really?
Of course.
So, all right, I'll try to describe this.
Yeah.
These are hex tiles. So everyone knows what a hex tile looks like. And if you don't, it has six sides.
You should at least know pattern blocks.
There you go. So the hex can have multiple things drawn on them that are like representing the tree branches. And it could be just a line that, or a branch that goes from one side to the other. It could be a branch that bends. So it goes from one side, but not quite a ways all the way over. It bends over to the other side. It could be a three-way. So it goes from... Well, it's on three sides, not six. There's like a
point in the middle.
Right.
Each
place where the branch hits the side of the tile, there's a slit.
Yes.
And you build it up by sliding these like hexes together. Right. We're both making like motions.
So many gestures here that no one can see.
I don't think that's working. but trust us, what we're doing, our gestures are completely correct in how you would work, put these things together, probably. But anyway, so you push these things together and it forms this really like three-dimensional, I guess it is three-dimensional. Everything's three-dimensional. We live in three-dimensional space.
Well, no, it could be flat on the table. But no, it builds up into the air. And it comes off the table and it looks really neat. You can branch, you can have more than one branch going. It looks really cool.
And it's not a dexterity game because these things fit together, but it's almost like a tile laying, like a 3D tile laying game.
Yes. And I would say that is a perfect description. So the thing about this one that makes me a little bit hesitant is that there are two different versions. The first version is $33. It is made out of cardstock and you have to cut your own slots.
Okay.
They have cut lines. You're going to have to pull out a pair of scissors. And I just worry about the durability of cardstock that you're trying to slot together over and over again over time for $33.
Right.
It's a bit much. For $79, you can get the deluxe version, which is made out of an incredibly durable laser cut chipboard. And they say that it's incredibly sturdy, works very well. But $79 seems a bit of a hefty price tag for something that might not be as heavy a game as something I would normally expect for $79.
Well, if it is a tile laying game to the point where you're trying to optimize, because I think what it basically have here, you have three stacks, right? And you can always see the top tile on each stack.
Yes.
And then you're going to choose one for your tree, leaving the others for your opponents.
Yes.
And it looks like there's some other like tree toppers or like fruit you can put on there or something.
I think there's just some of the tiles have life forms on them, like mushrooms or flowers or animals.
All right. So there's some strategy here. There's technical game here. There's
definitely strategy. It's technical. But for $79, I think of something more like, look at Scythe.
Yeah. I will give you that.
I'm expecting not more strategy, more depth to the game, maybe, but like more stuff.
All right. I will give you that. I'll give you that for, if you're going to compare apples to apples, you can probably find games with more components for $79. But this one still looks pretty cool.
It looks so cool. I just wish there was like a middle of the road. Can I get like a normal cardboard version? I'll punch out the pieces. I don't care. That's not as much work as cutting slots. It doesn't have to be the super durable chipboard. I want like the medium durable chipboard.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll get enough feedback where it's like, give us a medium option. We want something in the middle.
I'll have to go make a comment.
Yep.
And that one ends August 9th, and it is Tiny Trees.
Yep. It has already funded. They had a pretty low goal at 5,800. They're at 6,600 right now, and there's about 2 weeks to go. So maybe if there's enough people to say, look, I would totally back this if only there were a middle of the road thing, they will even get more funding. All right.
Maybe.
My next one here was also a tip from a listener called Escape Plan. Now, I don't know how this one, well, I do know how this one fell under my radar. I looked at it and I'm like, I don't need another escape game. But then it was recommended by a number of people. Then I started looking at its funding. And then I realized this is from the same designer as The Gallerist. The Gallerist, which is a Euro game that we were supposed to talk about on our Euro game episode, but we never got a chance to play because, wow, that game is heavy. So, and I mean that both by complexity and by weight. It's a really big box. But this one is a 1 to 5, 1 to 5, 1 to 4 player. I should probably just read these blurbs. I put the blurbs in here every single time and I never read my own blurbs.
Read your blurbs.
No, you do a good job reading the blurbs. I don't.
It's you.
So their blurb is, plan your escape as you race against other players to regain stashed cash and flee the city in this new strategy game by Vital Lacerda. That is not how you say his last name.
That's not how you say that name.
Lacerda?
I'm not Lacerda. Sure.
I'll go with Lacerda.
That sounds a lot better.
So, and it has a single player mode to it where you're actually going against like a corrupt cop, but it's 1 to 5 players. So typically 2 to 5 players if you're playing the standard game. And the premise is kind of neat. You've just completed a bank robbery. It was successful. You hid all your cash all around town because, you know, you don't want to concentrate that stuff. But all of a sudden you're hanging out with your 1 to 4 friends and they suddenly the heat's on. The cops know something's up and you all decide to go your separate ways. So your goal over the next 3 days is to get all around the city, collecting as much money as you can that's hidden in these different places, getting keys that will unlock these lock boxes, going different places, buying equipment, paying off the right people, hiring contacts, and ultimately trying to figure out which exit you're going to be able to get out of in the third day. Because it starts out with 3 exits and only one of them is going to be open on the third day, and you're trying to get out of that exit, and you're trying to get out before anyone else, because the longer you wait, the more it's going to cost you to bribe somebody to get through that exit.
Hmm.
It sounds neat, right?
It does.
There is a random tile draw, so the city's different every time you go through it. There's multiple different types of police, and they are colored meeples that you put in a bag, and you randomly draw them from the bag to decide who, you know, what type of police are in the different spots. There's player power, so each person will have, each character is slightly different, and you will unlock powers as you go through, but the more powers you unlock, the more attention you're getting from the police. Now, the interesting thing about this is it sounds really cool, and it seems like it should be a casual, fun, sit down, you know, escape out of the city game, and it probably is, except for it still has the same weight as something like The Gallerist. I started watching the rules video on this. The rules video is 45 minutes long. Almost 10 minutes of it is set up.
I mean, to be an escape type game with replayability is just going to have to be really heavy on the setup.
Well, really what it is it's a heavy Euro game with a really fun theme.
How unusual.
Yeah. And the thing, we talked about Euro games in our topics episode just, you know, this week. And, you know, one of the things that comes up over and over is Euro games don't really have a lot of theme to it. And, you know, which I don't think is true anymore. And this really kind of proves it's not true. Like there is a ton of theme here and it is incorporated quite well into the game itself. But it's still random tiles. There's no output randomness. Like you're not saying, I'm going to do this and roll to see the result. It's this is the action I'm going to take. And then I'm going to get this, or I'm going to buy that piece of equipment, or I'm going to hire this person. It's cool. If you like Euro games and this type of thing sounds interesting to you, you have until August 10th to take a look. And the game is $79, and it goes up if you want to add on. So you can actually add on a bunch of his other games. So if you want the Gallerist and Escape Plan combo, you can get that, and then you get some extra stuff and things like that. So you can basically get his entire back catalog through this Kickstarter if you want to. I will say that the older stuff is limited, although it doesn't look like it's selling out all that quickly, so you probably have a little bit of time, except for maybe Lisboa is, there's only like, as of recording, about 40 some copies of that left. But otherwise, that is the Escape Plan. And it's a possible back for me, just because it looks so heavy that I kind of want it.
All right. This next one looks great. I don't know if I missed it last week or if they're doing a shorter campaign, but I didn't see it until this week. It is Pumpkin Patch Bad Seeds. Plant spooky pumpkins while avoiding pesky crows. A quick playing pocket-sized pumpkin-filled strategy game for 2 to 3 players. This looks like so much fun. There's these fun, spooky-looking pumpkin art cards going on. You lay out five cards on the table, one in the center with one touching each side of the card. That's your starting patch. You put out 2 crows, and then you play your pumpkins. You can either play a starting patch next to a card, or you can play cards up in sequential order. If you have nothing in your hand that you can play, which is 3 cards only, you discard them all, draw 3 new cards, and that's the end of your turn. So you plant pumpkins, collect seeds, move crows, discard, and draw back to 3 on your turn. You build up a numerical order until somebody plays the Cinderella pumpkin, the highest number, which is 8, and that ends the game, and whoever has the most seeds wins.
So this is kind of cool because it's 2 to 3 players, but it plays in 15 minutes.
Quick plan. Small footprint. Deck of cards. Looks really cool to me.
I could see this as a Halloween party tournament type of game where
yes,
you just have a bunch of 2 or 3 player, you know, games going on all at once. And then the winner goes on to the next and goes on to the next. And finally, there's a 3-person show off of pumpkin chaos or something.
Or you could just pull it out to play whenever.
Yeah, I suppose you could do that.
It does have a very Halloween-y feel to it, but it looks like just a fun game to play. It has kind of the same, like, if I was going to play Uno, I'd play this instead.
So what you're saying is I'm being Halloweenist by saying you can only play pumpkin games on Halloween? Or is that pumpkinist?
Don't tell my mom, but I watch Christmas stuff year-round, so I might be on the wrong side of this one, where I'm like, holiday stuff, that doesn't matter. Just play it. It's fun.
Well, what I think is funny is, so if you back this for $3, you will get the print and play, and the print and play will be out. This has to be wrong. This says estimated delivery October 2019. I'm going to assume that if you had the print and play, you should be able to get it before then, but that's what it says. It says the main game will be out in August of 2018, but it's in retail October of 2018.
Huh.
No, October of 2019. It'll be in
there
retail.
There you go.
Yeah. So they are shooting for an October retail date for this, which is interesting. But if you back it now, you can be like Kitty and play it anytime you want.
It's true. This one ends August 9th, and it is $9. And that's Pumpkin Patch. Bad wow. Seeds.
Only $9. That's awesome.
Right.
All right. All right. So this one is, I saw this and I'm like, what? And then I watched the video and I'm like, oh, this is so cool looking. This one is called Moonshiners of the Apocalypse. The video is interesting. It kind of sets this up as like the apocalypse has happened. You're in the desert. This old guy is like telling a story about how he's driving through the desert and gets sort of ambushed by people who are drinking moonshine. I think that's what that is. And then you're like, oh no, what's going to happen to the old guy in the car getting ambushed by moonshine drinkers? And then he looks up on the hill and there's 4 moonshiners who are the heroes that are going to save him. And that's how the video starts. I'm like, okay, I must know what's going on here. So essentially what happens in this game is it's a city exploration game. You're kind of exploring this, you know, Western apocalypse. So it's like post-apocalyptic Western themed-ish. And you're exploring this area. And during the day, you're basically taking actions. And as you take your actions, you're going to reveal different parts of the city. And different parts of the city are going to give you different abilities and allow you to get different resources. And really, you're trying to get the best collection of resources. Because at the end of the game, everything is going to be sold, turned into gold, which are these little gold nuggets, which are also victory points. The person with the most victory points wins the game. However, so you have your daytime phase, which is taking all your actions, getting yourself ready, and you have a nighttime phase where all the drunkards come out, and they're like kind of trying to get into the different buildings, and you're trying to fend them off. And so once you fend them off, you gather survivors of the drunkard attack, and that helps you build things up. And it looks... The humor behind this is amazing. Now, I've looked at a couple of the reviews, and it is funny. There's like a lot of like funny art and all of that, but apparently the gameplay is supposed to be very solid as well. It is a solid exploration, resource management, you know, kind of, I don't want to say set collection, it's because not really that, but there's like these relics and booze cards and things like that that will help you get to where you're going. Like I say, he or she with the most victory points wins, and that is Moonshiners of the Apocalypse. Did you watch the video on this one by chance?
I did not. I saw it while I was scrolling through, but it did not catch my attention the way that your description of it has.
I just think it's funny. There's a lot of humor in the Kickstarter too. It's like, you know, for $10.
I do love that.
Yeah. For $10 extra, you can get customized cloth bags. Why? Because we like our games to look cool. So you have this has the resources. So it's scraps, corn, moonshine, and gold. So those are the resources that you're playing with. But yeah, this one has a lot of personality. I really want to do an episode on games that you should keep in your collection and why you should keep them. And I think sometimes games with just a lot of personality are great to have in your collection, because it's like, oh, let's play this silly game. We can get pretty much anybody to pay attention to it long enough just because of the theme alone, and it might make a great game to hit the table. So, Moonshiners of the Apocalypse goes till August 23rd. The standard edition is $59, and you know me, there's a deluxe edition, so you should spend $69 to get the deluxe edition, which comes with another miniature and some upgraded resource components. All right.
Our last game we're watching is the Grand Museum of Art, a board game for art lovers. Yes! Collect famous artwork, put together thematic exhibitions, and become the new museum director. So this is a game where the... backstory, I guess, is that the old museum director has taken all of the artwork and run off, and now you're left, you and your fellow curators, trying to refill the museum to gain popularity to become the new museum director. So you are collecting art and completing exhibitions to become the most popular curator. You gain art by answering silly or smart trivia questions, which is pretty entertaining. You can auction, steal, or exchange artwork with your fellow curators to complete your exhibitions and gain the most popularity.
So are you all in the same museum?
Yes.
And so you're just trying to basically, you're vying for that promotion.
Yes. You basically all have like kind of a wing of the museum is what it looks like, where you're trying to create your exhibitions. I don't know.
Wow, this one's pricey for you.
It is. You know, it's $46, which is not all that pricey, but for me, it's up there.
It also has an actual board. I think this is the first time you've picked a game with a board.
I really like art.
Fair enough.
And it caught me. And have you seen the miniatures yet?
Yeah, they're like little statues.
They're little statues. They're little famous. There's like David and Venus de Milo. And
I'm pretty sure the statue of David is anatomically correct.
Oh, he sure is.
That alone is probably worth checking this one out.
This is a prototype. Not sure that's going to carry over for the final version, or if they ever get it into stores, might need to be edited a little.
You know something, though? It is art, and I don't think that art can be... Like, you have to treat art with respect.
We're not going to censor the art.
Yeah.
We have to respect it. And it looks really cool. It seems very fun. I think this might be their first game that they're doing. They have a series of artist action figures that they've put out on Kickstarter before that looked pretty fun.
They're kind of like the bobbleheads of artists.
Yeah, like they've got like a Funko Pop kind of feel to them.
Although, shouldn't Vincent van Gogh be missing an ear? Or is that someone else?
No, that's Van Gogh. I mean, there was a time in his life before he cut off his ear.
All right, well, this is the young Van Gogh.
Pre-ear-cutting.
Pre-ear-cutting.
Yeah.
All right.
This is a fun-looking game. So this goes until August 19th. It is $46, and it is the Grand Museum of Art.
Excellent. All right, we have come to the segment of the show where I basically just babble on about a game that I've played of a Kickstarter that I've recently received, or sometimes not so recently. We had a listener question. So the last couple times I've done this, I've combined it with, here's a review of this game and the expansion that's on Kickstarter right now. and so I do those because it's like, okay, well, I have the game and there is this expansion. I want to talk about the expansion, but I should probably talk about the game. So then I kind of mix them both. This is not that case. So we're talking about Everdell today. And Kitty, you should remember this game because you made me back it. And
yet I don't.
What?
I have no memory of this. I have to go look now.
You should pull it up. As soon as you see it, you're going to be like, oh. So this was a game where I look at it and it's like, oh, cute little critters, whatever. Move on, move past. Don't pay much attention to it. And I'm pretty sure you said, it looks adorable. And I'm like, well, fine, if somebody's going to like it. And
it was great art.
I was backing everything at the time. So I backed this one. And as soon as it came, I actually brought this over to your place when we recorded last time just to show you, hey, look what I got. But we never actually played it. When we got home.
Such a tease.
I know. When we got home, Sydney and I played it. And it is a really, really good game. Like, I like this game a lot. Now, Sydney didn't like it as much as I did. She doesn't necessarily like the city building kind of games as much as I do. But I should probably explain what the game is. So, I want to say it's sort of worker placement, but it's not really worker placement. There are workers, you will place them. When you place your workers, they will give you usually resources or card draws. But that's not all you can do. You also have a hand of cards, and those cards are cards that you can build with resources. So, if you have the resources, you don't need a worker to build a card. You just spend the resources and you can play a card. Also, there are two types of cards. There are critters and there's constructions. Constructions are built with your they're either built with twigs, resin, or pebbles, or some combination of them. Critters are going to be recruited with berries, so you need to give them food for the critters to come over. But every construction has the ability to recruit one critter of a particular type. So if I build the palace, I can recruit the queen with the palace just by saying, oh, I have the palace, I have the queen in my hand, and I can play the queen, and now I have both, and I didn't have to spend any berries for the queen. So it's kind of this cool little engine building thing where it's like, I can put this out so I can get that later. To make it a little bit more interesting, you have a community set of cards in the middle of the board, which is 8 cards face up that anybody can play from. So if I have the palace in front of me and there's a queen on the board, my opponent knows that I can build that queen or recruit that queen for free, but maybe they want to spend the 6 berries to get the queen so that I don't get it. So there's that kind of, you know, what you can see and mess up with your opponent a little bit. On top of that, as you are building up different types of constructions and recruiting different types of critters, you will be satisfying different goals on the board. And 3 or 4 of the goals are set. So you get a certain number of scroll cards or a certain number of critter cards or something like that. And you claim that, and then those are points for the end of the game. And then there's a number of goals that are randomly placed. So they're going to be different each time. Get this construction and that critter in your city, and then you'll get to claim that goal. But it costs you a worker to claim it. So it's like, well, I could claim those points, but my worker is actually going to be better used to get more pebbles because I really want to build this other building and my opponent can't get that yet. So I have some time and I can wait a little bit. So there's a lot of tough decisions in this game as well. There are also there's actions on the board that are set, like, you know, get pebbles, get wood, or twigs, I guess, get resin, or there's will be random ones every turn, which, you know, one of the ones we had was draw a card and get two pebbles, which was great because pebbles are hard to get. You play through three seasons, and what happens is at the end of each season, you will recruit another worker. Well, actually, recruit one or two workers depending on the season. You also will harvest your green city cards. So those will, you know, if you build them early, you'll get to use them a little bit more often. The first and third season let you harvest. The second season gives you two workers instead of one. So there's kind of this, you know, season aspect. How long do you wait? Because that's the only way to get your workers back is to advance the season. So you'll wait and say, well, I could still play this card, or I could still do this or that or whatever. And you want to like push that out to the very end. Now, the interesting thing is once I complete a season, I just start up with the next season. So it's not like I have to wait for you to complete your season as well. It's more of just kind of a resource time management thing. There's a three-dimensional tree, which is completely unnecessary, but makes the board look really cool.
It does look so cool.
And there's lots
and
of cool
the
art.
The art is magical on this. It is so cool. I love it. I want to play it because I just want to admire the art for a while.
Yeah, I think you would like this. I think you and Josh would both really like this. It is a Euro game in all sense of the word. So it's basically you are placing workers, managing resources, building up things. And at the end, everything gets converted to victory points in one way or another. And the person with the most victory points wins.
All right. And for once, we are being timely because this is releasing at Gen Con.
This is releasing at Gen Con. It may be one of those hot games. I'm not sure, but it's getting a decent amount of buzz. So if you're at Gen Con, check it out. Also, you should be able to get it at all the retail outlets as well. This one seems to be going into mass release pretty soon. So that is Everdell. And that is our show.
All right. Thanks for listening. The Kickstarter edition is produced by Tabletop Game Talk Studios, a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Be sure to check out our on-topic episodes anywhere you find podcasts or at tabletopgametalk.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at Tabletop Game Talk Podcast, Twitter at Tabletop Game TLK. I'm Lawful Good Mom, and Chris is at Game Master Chris. If you have a Kickstarter you think we should check out, email us at kickstarter@tabletopgametalk.com. And finally, a thank you to our Patreon friends of the show, Emil Jiljam, George Gia, Adam Harrison, Corey Bell, and the SGC.
Until next week, keep playing games and having fun.